you, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you, as always, by listeners just like you. Great people like Anna O, John M, Roger A, Alex B, Corey S, Samurai Flea, Jason A, Nate Dog, Alex B, James W, Trey H, Forrest B, and Chris B. Thank you so much for supporting the show. You too can join this great team and get some great perks over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And by Humble Bundle, get amazing PC games or Mac games at an amazing price. Check it out for yourself at the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. Hello and welcome to episode 137 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I'm joined by little old you, my bestie, my friend, and we're going to hang out. We're going to spend some time talking about Hearthstone. I'll be honest, there's not a lot going on in the world right now. We've got HCT events, we've got some tournaments and whatnot, but we have not heard anything truly since the Puzzle Labs hit. So while there might be crickets on that front, I thought it would be a great opportunity to talk through some of your most important topics. And I'll explain what that means, but we're going to spend some time talking through some things that I elicited feedback from many of you in what you really struggle with as far as getting better at the game. So I'm going to give you some ideas off the top of my head and thoughts on that. We also will do our full breakdown of the meta, but don't expect a ton different. I know that with not a lot of news and with not much change through the meta, it seemed like, well, what are we going to do? Well, let's talk about the stuff we deal with every single day, which is how to get better at this game. But I just want to tell you how thankful I am to be here with you. I hope that you have had a great Labor Day weekend. If you live in America, you had an extra day off, hopefully. I'm recording this actually before the weekend, so I can be sure to spend as much of the weekend with my family as possible. But I know what we're doing. We will have gone to a balloon festival, and maybe I don't know what we're doing. I just know at least that much. We spent some time with friends. It should be a good time. So as this is dropping on Tuesday, you know, hitting the ground running, getting back into the work grind. If you're heading to work again for the week and it feels a little bit like Monday, don't forget, it's a 4-day week. And that's pretty great, isn't it? So that's my positive spin for you. So let me tell you why I'm happy before I get too far into this. First of all, obviously, long weekend. I am really thankful whenever we have a bit of time off. And even though my wife and I haven't had a direct conversation about it, I know at this point that we know each other well enough that she always wants to do something with that time, like go somewhere, you know, do something. Something different, not necessarily extravagant, but just an experience, you know. And I tend to want to really lay low. And this is one of those holiday weekends where we haven't had a conversation much about it. So that leads me to believe that she's thought through, hey, we've done a lot of stuff. I should probably let Andrew have this one. So it will be a pretty low-key weekend, and I'm super thankful for that. Be good time with family. And you know, I started my new role at my work a couple weeks ago, and I got to tell you, it's been a blitz. There has been a lot going on, a lot of new projects. But I tell you what, I feel hyper valuable to the team I'm on every single day. And there's not much of a better feeling than that when you come into work every day. So I've been truly thankful and very happy about just having a constant reminder that, like, hey, this team is really better from me being a part of it. I feel that from the work I'm doing, but I feel it even more so from their feedback, from how I'm hearing the projects that I'm working on are going and stuff like that. So truly happy for that, because I haven't had that every day of my adult working life or before that. So yeah, it's a good thing. And I guess I should remind you, if you're in a position where that's not happening, it's something to consider. It's something to look into. Why is that not happening? Am I just not hearing the good feedback that maybe my boss does think of me? Or is this a role or a team that that maybe I'm just not the best fit on? I don't want to put the negative Nancy's in your ear, because come on, this is the Happy Hearthstone. But I certainly would hate for you to go without that feeling, you know? So if it's not there because it's not being communicated, that's something that needs to get fixed. And if it's something that's more about the fit or the team that you're on, then maybe that's a change worth considering also. But that's such a hyper-personalized thing that I won't tell you how to live your life. Just want you to be aware of it. So yeah, like I said, no news. It was pretty crazy. I even tried doing a bit of scrubbing on the internet to say, like, is there anything here to talk about? Unfortunately, not really. They have been releasing these Dr. Boom comics, and that's about all that I can tell you. So if you haven't looked into Robo Boom and you want to check that out, I'll link that in the show notes to make sure that you can see these comics. They're pretty funny that they've been coming out with, although it definitely feels like very quickly after the Puzzle Labs were released that the whole flavor of Boom, you know, Boom's laboratories and stuff is just kind of like faded. I feel like it's that way every expansion release, but this one especially was, I guess it felt so personalized to him and his character and stuff that for it to go away as fast as it did seems a bit odd, honestly. But that's okay. Now we're living in the era of Boom, so we've got, I guess, usually it's around December that we see the last release. So heading into September and everything, we've got a couple, actually, I guess 3 more months until, or no, 1, 2, yeah, 3 months really until we see some new content. So we got a long ride to go with the Boom and the mechs and all of that. So it should be a good time. And so we'll look at the meta to distinguish what you should be playing. But before we get there, we'll take a very fast sponsor break. I want to mention Humble Bundle because I haven't in a while. And I love being able to shout out Humble Bundle because for my entire PC gaming life, I've basically built my entire library around what they have to offer. Humble Bundle from the beginning has worked directly with developers to make really high quality games accessible to you at a name your own price mechanic for a lot of things. So they keep coming out with great bundles that start at just a dollar, or you can name a price above that and get more. So preceding all of this, I want to tell you any purchase you make on the Humble Bundle site could support the Happy Hearthstone. So if you go through the link at thehappyhearthstone.com in the show notes for this, and you're thinking about buying anything, that would be amazing. And really, all of this is such high quality stuff. It's stuff you really want to know about anyway. And hopefully you're following me on Twitter because this past week, as they were launching their summer sale, they gave away a copy of Warhammer 40,000. I can't remember which one it was, like Frozen Night, something like that. And it was only available for 2 days, so sorry if you missed that, but I always love letting you know about that because they do some great giveaways as they're kind of launching stuff. So their summer sale is in full effect. This isn't a name your own price mechanic, but it's really good deals on some top tier games. So like Witcher 3 Game of the Year editions, $19.99 right now. Hollow Knight, if you remember, I was talking about that at length earlier in the year. It's right under $10, and they just released a new expansion. That game is just so much fun if you love the Metroidvania style, and oh my gosh, it's just an experience. Goat Simulator, if you like having ridiculous amounts of crazy fun, is only $2.50 right now on there. And Rayman Legends, I don't know if you played that game, but like if you are an old school platformer fan like I am, that is just like a love letter to platformer people. So it's just above $10, $10.19 right now. So those are kind of the first ones as I was looking through that I was like, man, these are insane deals. And every one of those purchases also, I believe it's 5% gets kicked over to charity. They've been big contributors to charity for all of their deals over the past. So you can go and check out all of the summer sale stuff. Surely there's something there that you'd like. And the bundles they're running right now, they've got a lot of like ebooks around coding and RPGs and stuff like that. But if you like the game bundles, those are the ones I'm always looking at. They've got a spooky horror bundle that features BioShock Remastered and Dead by Daylight and Friday the 13th, the game. So if you need a little scare your pants off, this is a name your own price thing where you can get some really good stuff and kind of be ready for October when that hits. And also they've got a digital tabletop bundle that's got Ticket to Ride, Carcassonne, and Armello. If you haven't checked that out, that is a really cool looking game. Kotaku's review wrote that it's like Game of Thrones, but with animals. Looks pretty neat, and I love Ticket to Ride in Carcassonne in real life, so playing them digitally is a great option too. So those are Name Your Own Price bundles you can check out, and then their monthly deal is always insane. So it's always $12 for that, and they give you some early unlocks. So right now it's Sniper Elite 4, Tales of Berseria, and Staxel, or this is the first time they've done this. Instead of those three games, you can choose to get Rise of the Tomb Raider, which, latest Tomb Raider game. Those games are amazing. So you can have your pick of the three or the one, depending on what you want. And then when that unlocks in, I believe it's 4 days as I'm announcing this, you'll get somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 other games. It's always well over $100 worth of stuff. So for $12, you cannot go wrong with that. So definitely check that out. And the final piece of the Humble Bundle puzzle is their pre-orders. So if there are games that you are hyped about, like, oh, I don't know, Destiny 2 Forsaken is coming out soon, Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Dragon Quest 9, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, you can pre-order those through the Humble Store, and they'll give you whatever access through Battle.net or Steam that you would need. And again, that purchase can help support the show. So if you enjoy the Happy Hearthstone, it just, you know, doesn't make sense necessarily right now to jump into the Patreon or something. This is a place where if you're making these purchases already, you can help support the show with that. So just go over to thehappyhearthstone.com, click on the show notes for this episode, and any purchase that you make on any of those things can help support the show. And I appreciate those of you who are making those purchases through there already. So that's all for the sponsor break. So let's talk about some of your things. So you might remember last week, I mentioned the Happy Hearthstone newsletter is a place that you want to be. And it's a free service that basically just keeps you in the loop in your inbox of anything that is going on the Happy Hearthstone related. So when this episode drops, you will have gotten an email about that. And any Patreon content that I create, I'll put on there as well. And I sent out an email to those users because this is kind of the core group. I know we got a lot of people listening to this, and I'd love for any of you to join that. Again, thehappyhearthstone.com/newsletter. And I put out a question out there, and it was a really simple one. The question was just, what's one thing that you wish you were better at in Hearthstone but don't know where to start? And this is really coming from me. I'm kind of looking at some other possibilities for content creation that I want to do to really help support and equip you to become the best Hearthstone player as possible. Because I've always found that you have more fun with the game when you develop those skills and get better at the game. So I wanted to talk through a few of these, especially since news was pretty low and the meta reports are there, but I don't know that we're going to fill up an entire show's worth with that. So I thought I'd talk off the top of my head about this, and hopefully it'll get me kickstarted in sort of developing these ideas further to give you some really high quality content around how to definitively get better at some of these things. So the first email that I got back was from Miguel, and Miguel said, thanks for the question. It's not one I get a lot. Since I started playing Hearthstone, there have been a lot of really cool legendaries I would love to craft, but as a free-to-play player, I know that it'll take some time before I craft even one. So as an answer to your question, I wish I knew what were the right legendaries to craft and which deck would suit them best. So Miguel, you are not alone in that. Crafting is a really important thing to learn, and distinguishing which ones are the most important is always really tough. And I've learned this on a new level on two accounts. One, I started up my EU account with Hearthstone. So if you're unfamiliar, they've got three different regions that you can play Hearthstone in, and they're basically three separate accounts. Like, it's all tied to your same Battle.net. But you essentially restart whenever you kick off one of those. And I was building out my EU one, actually, so I could give a lesson to one of our awesome patrons. Anna? Is it Anna or Anna? I'm sorry. Frozen has messed with me, so now I don't know how to pronounce that name. I'm just going to say Anna. But I realized that I had to go through the tutorial and everything on my EU account in order to observe her games. And so I went through all of that, and I started looking I was like, well, let me try out the ladder at rank 25 with a free-to-play account completely. And oh my goodness, I think it was my second game on the ladder that somebody hit me with a completely optimized Zulok. Like, running Solarium, running, I mean, just everything on that. And I realized very quickly, like, it is really rough out there. And knowing how to spend your dust is tough. I learned that in another way by starting to play Eternal, which is another card game that's developed by the same people who kind of do the digital versions of Magic and Pokemon. They've got this IP called Eternal. And it's honestly, I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's something that, you know, if I'm kind of burnt out on Hearthstone, I need something sort of to, you know, flex some other muscles, I'll jump on there and play it. And it's a lot of fun. But what's been overwhelming to me getting into Eternal is how many cards there are. I mean, I know Hearthstone pretty well. I can firmly say I know the cards. I know what's in Standard. I try to know all the names as best I can. and I have a good feel on the meta, which cards are important, which decks are important and stuff. But jumping into Eternal, I got really overwhelmed. Like, oh my goodness, there are so many cards in this game. I feel like there are more. I could be wrong about that, but it definitely feels like there's more content in Eternal. And very quickly I realized I am not ever going to have the same grasp on Eternal as I do with Hearthstone. And that's okay. Like, Hearthstone's always going to be, you know, my first love. So I'm going to play Hearthstone a lot more overall. But as I was trying to figure out, well, I want to do better on, you know, their ladder system in Eternal. I know I can't just play these theme decks that they give me, sort of like the deck recipes in Hearthstone, and expect to just win. So I started looking kind of at some budget decks and, you know, some different resources online to figure those out. And crafting one budget deck from, again, I haven't spent any money on that game yet. You know, I've gotten some free packs and stuff through the game. It cost me like half of what is dust in that game. And that felt like a huge investment, you know, because it was like, oh, I've got enough to make one solid deck in this game, maybe two if I wanted to, but then I wouldn't have any flexibility at that point. So that's a lot of context. I just want you to get Miguel, like, I feel you, and any other free-to-play listeners right now, especially if you're newer to the game, if you've gotten in the past, you know, 6 months or so. Developing your collection, starting to understand the ins and outs of the games, even just knowing where to start with all of that can be extremely overwhelming. So let me simplify it very, very easily for you. The first thing to tell you outright is that classic cards are the place to start. So the classic and basic collections are the two sets in Hearthstone that you will, you know, hypothetically always be able to use in standard play, right? Outside of the classic and basic cards, the cards that are available from expansions for you to play in Standard will rotate every 2 years. So you will never get more like lifetime value out of cards than the classic and basic cards. Now, the basic cards are the ones that you'll get just from leveling up your heroes, playing the game. You actually can't get those any other way, so they're completely free. The classic cards come from classic packs, which you'll get every week from your Tavern Brawl, which is huge and a really, really a godsend as far as developing your collection goes. But also if you're investing gold in packs and stuff like that, like, classic is really where you need to start. Because so many of the decks are based in that set. And especially this year, like in the Year of the Raven, we've seen a lot of classic cards come out of the woodworks in a lot of these sets. Like, last year it was not that way. Last year it was almost purely expansions that drove a majority of the high level meta decks. But now you actually see quite a few other cards from the classic set, which is fantastic for the game. And it's fantastic for free to play players because it means that you've got some potential as far as what your collection is. You don't necessarily have to invest in those latest expansions and stuff. So classic cards are always going to be the most bang for your buck. And then in addition to that, the most bang for your buck is also going to come from neutral legendaries. So if you're specifically looking at which legendary should I craft, you want to look at the legendaries that are neutral, that are hopefully from the classic set, that are used in multiple high-level decks. And honestly, the one that actually comes to mind isn't classic, so I'm going to look it up while I talk. But Ziliax, the card of the week from last week, is actually the one that comes to mind first because it's used in, it's used in a bunch of different decks right now, and it's neutral, right? So because it's from Boomsday, it won't necessarily be valuable for all time's sake. But the fact that it's being used in so many different decks right now, I would say that that's one that should really be high on your priority list. And obviously, like, you need to determine what's most important to you. So if you want to have something that's competitive right now, I mean, honestly, it's something I've kind of thought of with Eternal. Like, I don't know if I'm going to play Eternal in 2-5 years. So I was okay kind of with just saying, you know, let me just, you know, play a deck that I like and just go from there. But with Hearthstone, you might be feeling the same way, where you kind of just got into it. You're not exactly sure. You know, Ziliax is a really key one that I would say that you can invest in. Okay, now I've actually got the classic legendaries set in front of me. Like, Leroy Jenkins is an obvious one, right? 5 mana, deal 6 damage is just really, really strong. And honestly, you could slot it into just about any deck, because every deck wants to kill your opponent. It might be in different ways. Even a fatigue deck, if you were trying to, you know, get your opponent at the end, a little extra damage might be exactly what you need right at the end. So there's no deck that he's poor in, especially if you're a free-to-play player and you're just trying to make the best of what you've got there. The other ones I would point your attention to, Bloodmage Thalnos goes in a lot of different decks, especially stuff like Mage or Druid. Thalnos can really fit into. Alexstrasza is a really good one for just about any control deck, and several combo decks as well, because the utilization is twofold, where you might want to deal a lot of damage to your opponent, or you might want to heal yourself back up. So Alexstrasza is a really key one. And then I would say Cairn Bloodhoof is another one. He kind of rotates in and out of being extremely viable, but it's just such a strong effect that I think it's another kind of legendary where it's like, this could slot into just about any deck, especially if you're trying to do a lot of sub ins and outs. And then Ysera, I guess, is the last one that I'll mention. And again, control decks especially, Ysera is just so much value and really tough to take down. So there are plenty others in the classic set that I could point you to, but those are the ones that I would probably say majority of you could look at and kind of like put those against your play style and say, okay, this is where I'm going to start. These are the ones that are most important to me, and go from there. I hope that gives you a starting place, Miguel, because it's tough, honestly. That's the first step on the journey that I would give you. The next one I got was from Steven. Steven said, deck building, period. I wish I could see synergies in the cards that pros can see. I also wish I could think ahead about my turns and plays like Kibler does. It's a really simple email. You got to the point, and I appreciate that, Steven. And again, I think that these are such key mechanics that you are not the only one who wishes that this were the case. So, like, deck building is just tough. Like, I have to tell my stories again. Like, back when I was a kid and I played the Pokemon TCG, and I loved that game, like, so much. I just, like, I would buy theme decks to get, you know, the cool holographic card, but I would just sink my money in booster packs and just like, what is this? What is that? And I would come up with my own deck. Basically, I feel like, looking back on it now, I would get enamored by like this one card and be like, oh, this card is insane. And then I would just put it in a deck. I wouldn't really care what the rest of the deck was, but I'd be like, man, but if I get this, you know, this Pokemon out, I'm just going to win the game, basically. I kind of think of it in terms of like Deathwing might look to the newer player. Like, Deathwing just kills everything on the board. Well, I might sacrifice my hand, but it kills everything on the board. It's so good. Well, think about how that plays out, especially for the newer player, just playing Deathwing straight up. Like, let's just say you just get to turn 10 and you just play Deathwing. If your opponent had some death rattles, those death rattles would have triggered, and you may have just given them some 5/5s or 3/1/3s with taunt or something like that. Not to mention, your opponent could have a hex, a siphon soul. What else is going to work? Well, now Omega Defender actually can get in the way. There's probably something else that I'm forgetting. Polymorph, obviously. So there are actually quite a few answers to Deathwing. And so I could see myself, little Andrew, playing Hearthstone now and doing that and being like, well, that's, but Deathwing's so good. What do you do? And so when it comes to deck building, it's not necessarily getting enamored with this one thing. It's figuring out, like, how can I get a few cards that really synergize well towards one win condition? If you try and do a combo deck mixed with a control deck mixed with aggressive elements, it's typically not going to work out well to your favor, right? Think about Mali Druid. Mali Druid wants to get to its combo, which is like Malygos, couple Moonfires, maybe the last effect of Twig, or last durability of the Twig of the World Tree, and then a swipe or something. And then, of course, you got, Full Bloodedness Floop to help, potentially, or Faceless Manipulators. You know, you've got some other supporting roles, essentially, to help with that. So, but all of it is driving towards this one thing that's not crazy to do. And so what are the other elements that can help you get to that one thing? Well, obviously, ramping up to your higher mana crystals are going to help. Drawing through your deck is going to help. Being able to defend well, so getting armor or getting a bunch of minions with taunt on the board. This is why Druid is so good, because they have a lot of the tools that they need to be able to delay the game and get to where they want to be. So when you have all those elements working in synergy with each other, then you've got a solid deck. Or think about the odd paladin or odd rogue decks that just want to go face, they want to go fast, and they want to just, destroy you. Like HenchClan Thug isn't necessarily an aggro card, right? But in odd rogue, where you're able to set up a weapon on turn two every time, you have that option every time. And then turn three, you're essentially playing a 4-4, assuming your second swing of the dagger while HenchClan Thug's out there. A 4-4 on turn three is great tempo. It's something that demands answers from your opponent. And then whatever they've done, like if they use their hex against that, guess what? I've got another HenchClan Thug, or I've got a Vicious Fledgling, or I've got this or that, right? So even for the aggressive decks, like looking at deck building, it isn't as simple as just, well, let me put all the one cost minions in my deck. You know, we've learned with Quest Hunter that doesn't work necessarily. You have to have other supporting roles that help you to get to that final solution. So I'm probably preaching to the choir, Steven. You might even be saying, well, I know all of that. I just don't get like how to bring it all together. And honestly, I'm right there with you. Like I've been tinkering with this Bauman deck, and I've played it at Legend Ladder all through the rest of August. I still love it, and I still really want it to work. And I've won some games with it. It's not the 50% deck, or really 60% deck that I want it to be, but we'll see. I'm getting there. But this is like the only tooling I've done with something that purely came from my own thinking and stuff. I got some. Actually, the thought really came from Cinder. I need to give him credit because he was the one thinking about the bombs and stuff. I've just really gone with it. But anyway, that is like one spark that isn't necessarily like all the time. I mean, honestly, Jackie Chan is the streamer that you need to watch if you want to get better at figuring this out. This is like getting better at anything in your entire life. You need to find somebody who's done what you want to do and start learning from them. So like Jackie Chan is somebody who is so good at just coming up with these wacky combinations. And I think he does it because like half of the time when I go to his stream, he's just flipping through his collection. He's just kind of looking through and seeing like which cards aren't being used right now. And then he's like, Loose Specimen is actually a card from Boomsday I've been thinking about a lot lately. And I don't know if there's actually something to it, but I sort of I wonder if there's some ways to really take advantage of this card, because on its own, it's just a 5-mana 6/6. Like, that's good tempo. If I could somehow find a way to take advantage of damaging my own minions, it could be kind of crazy. So that's the way Jackie Chan thinks. He starts to look at the cards that are just so absurd and then starts to think, what would it take to get there? Well, for the Loose Specimen example, okay, Acolyte, what are the minions where it's a good thing if they get hit? Well, Acolyte of Pain, Frothing Berserker, the Eternium Rover, trying to think of at least one more. Come on, brain, you can think of one more. I'll just leave it there. But you're starting to see like, okay, well, that's all warrior. I wonder if I could figure out like a warrior deck. Okay, so now we're starting to think in a context, right? So if I'm trying to make loose specimen work, I put two of those in there. The problem is it deals, I think it's 6 damage to friendly minions. That's a lot of damage to my board. So is there any way I can give my board more health? Boisterous Bard does that. So maybe I want to put a couple of those in there. The minions that have a lot of health are huge. So the Frothing Berserker might be able to get through. Like if I had an Acolyte and then a Frothing Berserker and then a Boisterous Bard into loose specimen, like I probably could be okay. And my Frothing Berserker might be like insanely high at that point. Not might be insanely powerful is where I want to say that. So, you know, this is kind of the thought process I think that he goes through. I wish I could tell you more definitively, but this isn't necessarily one of my strengths. It is something that I'd like to get better at. And I really do think to some varying, like you need to have a functional understanding of that, especially when you're doing the things that really every person who's trying to rank up on the ladder is trying to do, which is to get to your next goal, you know, get to where you've been before, consistently, but then also up things just a little bit each time, right? So being able to figure out, let me find a deck that seems to be working, you know, from Vicious Syndicate, Aegis Replay, one of these sources, and then knowing how to tweak it based off of what you're seeing. So teching in cards, you know, like, gosh, I'm just seeing all aggro right now. Maybe I need to put in the 2 Giggling Inventors that should have been there in the first place. Or maybe I need to put in a Spiteful, Skulking Geist. Sorry, I've been getting Skulking Geist wrong a lot lately. Maybe I need to throw that in there to really throw them off of their one mana spells. You know, you start thinking in those realms of what are the pockets of things that I can draw on, swap in, trade. And maybe this is where I need to develop this idea more, is kind of coming up with those pockets and defining those a little bit better. But I'm with you on that. Deck building is tough, like especially if you're trying to start from ground zero and create something that's formidable. I would advise you, unless you are a professional player at this game, don't spend a majority of your time trying to do that. Like, people are playing this game far more than you or I on Twitch, in tournaments and stuff like that. Learn from what they're doing. Watch some streams of people like Kibler, like Jackie Chan, who are really good at coming up with these wacky ideas that work. Don't take what they can do and say, I must be able to do this. Because a lot of times, like Zedalot is the quintessential example of this. He comes up with off-the-wall priest decks that he is able to make sing on the ladder. And it is something that is nigh irreplicable. And I would not advise you to, I think it's a fool's errand to just try and make Zedalot's decks work, but especially just to have the right expectation from yourself. Like, here's what I'd like to be able to do, to offer, to try to kind of up my game on there. So Steven, I hope that gets you going in the right direction, but definitely an idea I want to flesh out a bit more. I heard from a lot more other people. So I just want to thank, Brett, Callum, Bill, Mark, and Thomas for reaching out and giving me your thoughts. If you did get that email and haven't responded, I would love to hear from you. And even if you didn't get that email, again, the question was a really simple one. It was just, what's one thing that you wish you were better at in Hearthstone but don't know where to start? If you've got an answer to that question, if there's something burning on your mind that you want some input on, email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. And please consider going over to thehappyhearthstone.com/newsletter and signing up for that so that you get blasts like this. And I'm really trying to treat that as kind of my first line of, like, these are my people that I can get feedback for to create better content for you. And really, I've got some great plans for the future, but I want it to be stuff that really matters and really, like, in a very tangible way helps you to get better at this game and enjoy it more, because that's probably why you're listening to this. So yeah, would love the opportunity to do that. All right, let's talk some meta. So it's the second round now of a lot of the reports from the main places. And, I know I said at the top of the show not a lot's changed. It's because I feel like there's nothing fundamental that's really shifted. But we are seeing a really good cycle of decks through the ladder right now. And the really interesting thing was, from Quest Rogue kind of being at the top of Vicious Syndicate's report this past week, They saw a pretty big rise in aggressive decks because that's able to counter Quest Rogue significantly. And that's actually how I was able to get to Legend also, by countering that with the Odd Warrior. So we're seeing all sorts of different thoughts and schematics of getting there and stuff. But I'll just jump into this Vicious Syndicate report. The top tier decks right now in order are Token Druid, Cube Hunter, Odd Warrior, and Odd Rogue. And I think with these four decks, you've got a very interesting slice of the meta where you've got four very unique decks that are all just differently suited for different things. So Token Druid is a deck that I have got to spend more time with. And I think that it'll probably, well, I'm nervous about playing it too much because right now it's kind of the hotness. So a lot of people are probably going to be learning to counter it. So I don't know that I want to invest too much yet. But I have to learn this deck because I don't know enough about it on my own. I just haven't sunk enough time into the games and stuff. I got a Golden Whispering Woods from a monthly reward chest, actually. So I have what I need, but just haven't played it enough. Anyway, Token Druid really wants to build a board. They're able to cut through sort of like Hunter is, as far as like having some really good aggressive matchups, some really good control matchups. Looking at it briefly on here, like really the bad matchups, according to their matchup win rates on Vicious Syndicate, are Aluneth Mage, Control Warlock, and Even Warlock. So like Even Warlock and Control Warlock, you know, they've got Defile, which is Token Druid's worst nightmare, because they create so much stickiness that something like Big Spell Mage is just the quintessential example in my mind. Big Spell Mage is typically only able to play one board clear at a time. And they've got a ton of them in their deck. So they've got Dragon's Fury, Blizzard, Flamestrike, Meteor. And so they're able typically to just deal with a board. But Token Druid is so resilient because they're able to, through Whispering Woods or there's one other one. Oh, a Spreading Plague, obviously. They're able to create a very wide board quickly. And then Soul of the Forest on top of that means that you can kill my entire board and I'm still going to have an army of 2/2s that are ready to Savage Roar down your face. And that's not a good thing for, you know, players, for your opponent when you're doing that, essentially. So, but even Warlock and Control Warlock having options like Defile, even Twisting Nether can kind of be just the, nope, I'm going to delete your board. If they've used their Soul of the Forest and stuff, Defile really is the best example of, I'm going to set this up to have a 2-mana option to not only clear your board, but clear your resilient army of treants as well. So Warlock hasn't really been as heavily powerful lately as it has been through the Boomsday meta. So I think this is really what's positioned Token Druid to be a lot better of an option than it has been in the past. Some of its best matchups on here, like I said, Big Spell Mage, all of the Shamans pretty much, Rogues, and Odd Warrior as well. So it's definitely a deck to learn. It's not essentially like the rock, paper, scissors game where it's like, oh, you just, you play Token Druid if you're seeing a lot of aggressive matchups or a lot of control matchups. Like it has a wide variety of good matchups, which is a very nice thing. You know, you want that, obviously. And Cube Hunter is very similar. I mean, I've been saying it since Boomsday hit. Like Hunter is just this really interesting class that it seems has such a variety of good matchups for it that it's rarely going to let you down. I mean, the worst matchup on these rates here is Quest Rogue. And so if you're seeing a lot of Quest Rogue, then yeah, Cube Hunter takes a little bit too long. It really feels like most of the time it's a, when Cube Hunter works, it's like a game strategy of getting to your mid game and then punching, like almost a combo deck where you want to just get a ton of value off of your cubes, your play deads, and stuff like that. And then in that mid to, well, it really is like turns, 8 to 12 sort of, you just want to create some combo that just completely destroys them, right? And sometimes you've got a really aggressive strategy that gets you early on in the game with the Devil's Door eggs. And then Deathstalker Rexxar is what's great for those late or control-oriented matchups where you've got infinite value. Deathstalker Rexxar is so powerful. These knight cards, these hero cards, I don't know if I've said it on the show yet. I apologize if I have, but I really believe we're going to look back on those Death Knight cards in a similar vein as we do to like some of the Naxxramas and Goblins versus Gnome cards, where it's like, these are just too powerful. Deathstalker Rexxar just has infinite value for the rest of the game. And having a board clear mechanic right then, it's just something the Hunter doesn't have access to. So I'm not saying it's an OP card because it does not just straight up win you games by any stretch. But in the control matchups especially, it's just so good. And oh my goodness, if you haven't seen a Build-A-Beast that has Bittertide Hydra and some amount of lifesteal, you need to figure out that interaction because it's really important. And I ran into it last night and I volcanoed purposefully because I needed to clear it and my opponent BM'd me because I think they thought that I didn't know how that would turn out. So anyway, that was way too much. But Cube Hunter is really interesting. It's definitely one that deserves your attention, and it's cool to me that Token Druid and Cube Hunter are heading off the list because they have such a variety of those different matchups that are good for you. So definitely, if you're getting frustrated, if you feel like, you know, I just can't keep up with how many different decks there are, one of these two might actually be the best bet for you because they can cut through a variety of things. I keep using that. It's just the only thing that comes to mind. So sorry. I'll write down some synonyms after this for next week's episode. Odd Warrior is next on that tier one list. This is what I hit Legend with. And my goodness, Warrior has come back in a frenzy. And mostly it's to combat the really crazy aggressive decks. Odd Warrior is so powerful against Odd Rogue, against Odd Paladin. Even against like Aluneth Mage or Mali Druid, just building an insane amount of armor. Zulok, of course. This is a deck that can take care of a lot of decks that have kind of run rampant. And it's as easy as tanking up to rank up. That's not all you can do. But learning when to use your Brawls, when to use your Reckless Flurries, and just having insane value. Dynomatic, I swear, this is like just an MVP of Boomsday. I am nary upset about playing that card. Dr. Boom is not only a fun card, but a hyper valuable card. You thought that gaining 4 armor on a turn was good. Try gaining 7 armor, not only when you play Dr. Boom, but when you get that hero power for 2 mana. That's bananas. And usually it makes up for the other hero powers with that. So anyway, Odd Warrior, I don't feel like I need to go too in-depth with. Because like, if you haven't played some Odd Warrior, you really, really should if you've got the cards for it. And then Odd Rogue is just a pesky cockroach that is doing really well. I actually heard that my good buddy Grazler, who's the host of My Hearthstone Diary, hit Legend for the first time with it. So no shade towards you, my friend. In fact, I was super excited and proud when I heard that episode on My Hearthstone Diary of your journey on there. So bravo. I just feel like Odd Rogue is a deck that I have not, well, I certainly haven't spent enough time with, and I don't know that I want to. I probably should, honestly, so that I can learn how to play against it better. I don't have Myra's Unstable Element, and I feel like you really want that card, but it's not essential, so I should just try it out. But Odd Rogue really is just such a good aggressive deck. It has a good matchup against Zulok because with your mini fiery war axe from your hero power, you're just able to just control the board so much better than they are, which is saying something because Zulok has been known throughout the history of the game of Hearthstone for being really good at controlling the board. Odd Rogue can just do that better. So if you're seeing like a lot of Druid, then typically Odd Rogue's not going to have good matchups there. Odd Paladin is just too aggressive for it to keep up with. Some of the Hunter decks, it looks like just Spell Hunter on this list is the bad matchup. Actually, it has a positive win rate against Cube Hunter because I think it's just aggressive. So learning that deck really can be your best friend. Instead of going for the variety approach, just go for the face approach. Like, honestly, Odd Rogue has become the new face Hunter, in my opinion. And you still have to know how to play the deck really well. You really need to know your matchups, because if you come up against a warrior, it's going to be tough for you to break through all that armor. And if you overextend your board presence, you may not be able to come back from that. So really good deck, really strong deck. And Quest Rogue is just eked out under tier two. So it's got a 51.8% win rate. So it's still very good. And there's actually been quite a few pros like Ike, and I can't remember who the other one was, who were on Twitter voicing their very strong opinions about the state of Quest Rogue. So anyway, I might not have enough time to go through these other meta reports. Real quickly, I'll just say HS Replays got Odd Paladin, Odd Rogue, and Even Shaman at the top of their tier one list. Again, HS Replay having very different stats than Vicious Syndicate on this. So, and the truth is that Odd Paladin like has those good matchups against Odd Rogue, especially. So if you're seeing that a lot, it could be really good for you. Really any rogue, it looks like on here, or Zulok. So maybe that's another good way to go. It has really good matchups against Hunter. Like Druid is your biggest problem if you're trying to queue up Odd Paladin. So if you're seeing everything but Druid, you might be okay to do some Odd Paladin. Actually, Warlock's pretty bad too. So don't see either of those for sure. And then the Tempo Storm report, they've got Mali Druid, Odd Rogue, Togwaggle Druid, and Zulok at the top of their tier one list. Mali Druid has been played a lot. I actually spent a little time watching Tice play this on his stream at like the top 100 legend, and that was really helpful for me because, again, I feel there are lots of decks I need to spend some more time with, which is a good problem to have. This next month, I'm probably going to try to make my pushes on the ladder with these different decks. So especially Token Druid, Mali Druid, and I really should learn Odd Rogue better than I have. So I'll probably spend especially the beginning of my time with those. So yeah, no huge surprises there. Mali Druid is just able to combat a lot of different things as well. It might be a combo deck that can really deal with other combo decks control strategies better. And it's always bad when you look at the matchup rates and Priest and Paladin are like most of the green, because there's not much Priest or Paladin on the ladder right now, if you haven't noticed. So I don't know that I would actually say Spiteful Druid might be another one to check out. I've run up against Spiteful Druids, and been in a world of hurt. So, those are all of the things that are out there. Probably easy to tell. Like, I'm going to recommend to you Token Druid and Cube Hunter as my recommendations for what to work with on the ladder. And really, it kind of goes down to which one do you want to learn better, because they're both a bit tricky. Cube Hunter might be a bit on the easier side. Token Druid is a tough deck to play, and Muzzy was kind of the inventor of it. So if you've watched him play in tournaments or anything, surely you've seen him play this and learned a bit from that. I would suggest use the Twitch filtering system to look through like who's playing Druid, who's playing on these high levels, or you can go, I think it's metallegend.com. And they, if I haven't mentioned that tool yet, I learned that from Hat over at Coin Concede. They scrub the HS replay data and find all legend versus legend games. And you can actually just watch those replays because it's public information. So they just organize it in a better way. And you can actually sort by popular decks on there. So actually, I just looked it up. In the past 6 days, Token Druid is the number one most popular deck on there. So I can just click on that and it'll show me every recent game that has that. So I can watch Hot Meowth win a game with Token. Actually, the Mirror. Ugh, I don't know if I want to watch that. Dexter. Oh, I just ran into him on Risen stream the other day. He was playing some Token Druid on here. So this tool is extremely cool, it's neat to see kind of these big names that you can watch. You may not get like the on-stream talk through of how they did it, but you can get a lot of good information from that. Token Druid, Cube Hunter, I'll link to some deck lists for you to try out. I need to hurry up and wrap this show up, actually, so I'm not going to let you off, though, without letting myself on the hook. That's not quite right. I've got a card of the week for you, and here is what it is. You're gonna buff two guys by 2-2, and you're gonna drive me insane. I really need to let this go. If I wanna clear the board, I can deny you right now with your mushrooms. But I really want you to know that you're gonna do my bidding with my board, cause my deck now has you, and you'll make my minions flow. They're gonna get buffed up and then going for the kill. This opportunity for face is once in a lifetime. You can buff anything you want to, Fungal Man. Sir. So that's my ode, I guess, to the rap god himself. I am certainly not there yet, but I will work my way up to your level, my good sir. Fungal Mancer is a 5-mana 2/2 minion, and it reads: Battle Cry, give adjacent minions +2/+2. I think I have a little bit voiced my opinions on this card. I am sick of Fungal Mancer. Like, I legitimately am sick of this card. And mostly it's because of those odd rogue opponents who always seem to have it on turn 5. Five mana for 6/6 worth of stats is pretty crazy. And I'm almost positive that in our review of Kobolds and Catacombs, that Steve and I really kind of let this one off the hook because we didn't see it back then. But the truth is that if you can get two minions to stick and then you can play Fungal Mancer, you've got 4 attack out of that 6/6 worth of stats that is charge value, kind of, if you know what I'm saying. So, like, you can immediately do that damage. It's so powerful. And now with Giggly Inventor being as prominent as it is, it's easier than ever to get stuff to stick. Stuff like the Token Druid decks, and, I mean, really any of the aggressive decks. Odd Rogue's running it, Odd Paladin is running it. I'm sure there's one that I'm forgetting right now. Zulok, are they running Fungal Mancer? Some builds are, for sure. This is just such a good card. I'm going to be a little bit pleased when we say goodbye to our Mushroom Overlord here. I don't think it's to the point that it's overpowered. Its presence in the meta demands that you deal with your opponent's board immediately. Like, if you're a control deck and your aggressive opponent is getting all up in your biz, you cannot allow them to get so much value. Because the thing is, like, this buffs those minions that can go in for more damage immediately. And then those minions are tougher to get rid of. So Big Spell Mage is probably, like, especially the one control deck that doesn't mind too much. I guess Odd Warrior doesn't really, because Reckless Fury can just deal insane amounts of damage. Or Brawl obviously deals with everything but one minion. So you've got options. I feel like I've seen it too much on turn 5, and it's on the heels of a turn that I could not deal with the board because I just don't have the resources that I need for it. So kudos to you, Fungal Mancer. You got past me once, and I've just seen too much of you, and I will be happy when your day is done in Standard, to be quite frank. But until then, I'm going to play you in my bombing deck, and I'm going to buff all of my goblin bombs, and they're going to go in for even more damage when they die. And I love you in those situations, and that's all. As I wrap up here, I want to remind you, as always, you are the happy Hearthstone. I want you to feel it, to know it, to believe it. It's truth. And this podcast is for you. It's sustained by you. And so if you have any feedback, if you're enjoying the show, if there are things that you're not so sure about with the show, would you just take a few minutes and let me know? Because I can't get better without open and honest feedback. And I've loved what I've been hearing from the community lately. I want to put the call out to those of you who have never reached out before, especially if you've been listening to the show for a long time. Like, I would love the chance to connect with you, hear more about your story, how you found the podcast, why you enjoy listening every single week. Or if you're a new listener, like, what spurred you on to this? Are you enjoying it? Do you want to hear different topics that you haven't heard of yet? Really want to continue to just see our community grow, and I'm only going to be able to do that with your input and advice. And of course, I have to thank everyone over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone who are supporting the show. You can get exclusive rewards for joining and supporting to make the show happen. I want to continue to grow this show and be able to do more for you. And that's only going to be possible truly if we're able to rally together to create something. So if you haven't checked it out before, please go do that. If you've been thinking about it, like kind of on the edge, go check it out, find something. And even for this next month, if you're interested and want to try it out, like basically do a trial run and see if, is this something, you know, does this make sense for me at the $5 level to get these exclusive videos? I want to check them out and see, you know, if they're worth my time. Or, you know, maybe I can afford $1 a month and I'm going to try that out and see if it works for my budget. Go check it out. And of course, I have to thank the producers of the Happy Harson who are supporting the show at the highest level. Red Knight, Risen, John M., you know who you are. I hope you know how much I appreciate each of you. And I just love being able to connect with you on a deeper level. So thank you, thank you, thank you for making this show happen and allowing it to grow. Truly wouldn't be where we're at without your help. So again, Red Knight, Risen, John M., thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's three thank yous, three times for three awesome dudes. That's it. And if you're also looking for a free way to support the show, leaving a review on iTunes would mean the world. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts right now, you can pause, go over there real quick and leave a review. It helps other people to find the show. And I'd love to read it on the show just to give a little thank you to you. So go over to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com for all of the links to all of the things. Because I want you to stay connected. Get on that newsletter. Let me know what your answer to the question is. What are the things you wish you could get better at? Or one thing that you just don't know where to start at in the game. And I'll wrap it up. I love you guys so much. So thankful to be able to be a part of your week, a part of your life. Thank you for being a part of mine too. Thank you for visiting the Happy Hearthstone, having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.